The idiots are now in charge. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it is. What is it, Friday? This is Friday already. No, it's Thursday. It's Thursday morning. We have one more show tomorrow. That's a good sign. Thursday, October 23rd, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am back. Apparently, yesterday, a bunch of people have been watching this, listening to the show. There's been another spike in our listenership. I think it dumps. There's different things dump the results once a month or a couple times a month or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And things come through with all this stuff. Anyway, welcome aboard. It is the show that tells you what I think about what to think about what I think and what you should think about. Call the show. Let me know what you think about what I think. It's the news, according to me. That's what it's about. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. However, I have a lot of opinions that I share. Everybody who's that I talk about is potentially just all allegations. They're nothing. I'm not saying anybody's, if I happen to say somebody did something, it's just an allegation. They're convicted of such. Get the legal speak out of the way. I don't know if that is, I'm not a lawyer, like I said, I'm just making this stuff up. Give me a call. It's 812-379-8778. Leave a message or send a text at that number. And maybe I'll talk about what you say or what you text or whatever you do. If you're outside of the country, feel free to go to google.com/voice. And you can put that number in there and do your little text, 812-379-8778. Let's take a look at the little analytics tool here and see what's going on, because it's whenever there's a spike like that, I kind of like to see what's going on here. What do we have for him? What's happening? Where'd it go? Here we go. Geographic stats. Australia is picking up. There's a lot more people in Australia than there were. Great Britain. That's right up there too. It's in the top five. What is that? What even is that? Canada, a few more in Canada now. Mexico, wherever KE is, I don't even remember where that is. A lot of interesting stuff happening here. A lot of interesting listens, I guess. New York City is topping the cities of the listenership. I don't know what's happening with that. Virginia, that'd be the D.C. area. Actually, over there, South Bend. That's kind of typical. That's my local area here. Wisconsin's getting right up there. It's got quite a few from Wisconsin, quite a few from Indiana, Michigan, New South Wales. Somebody is actually listening to the show here in New South Wales, like a lot in Sydney. That's quite surprising. Actually, I'm kind of who knows? I don't know who's there. Sydney area. Welcome, Sydney. The London area, of course, London, and there's Dikorsky, which goes into more Indiana, more the United States area, Henderson, Kentucky. I'm not sure what I know. Some people down there, or if they're the on, and of course, more, yeah, mostly, quite a few from New Jersey, actually, the Jersey area. But interesting. Here's Pakistan and Kenya. And here's, this is Ecuador. Okay, that explains some of these. I knew the UK, Germany, Netherlands, Pakistan, Australia, and Russia. There's quite a few in Russia, actually. That's interesting stuff. What's this little one here? That's also, that's Poland. Okay, there's some Poland. That may not be Poland. That may be something else. I don't know what that is. Can't zoom in on the map here. Oh, what's that one? Dominican Republic, DR. Okay, there we go. That makes sense. All right. Well, anyway, the welcome aboard, everyone. It's good to have people from all over the country, all over the world. And again, like I said, if you don't have if you have access to the internet, of course, that's probably how you're listening to me. But just go to google.com/voice 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think. Just type that in there and you can leave a message. It's a hotline type thing. Of course, our show isn't live. Typically, it's live on Wednesdays. As we go into November, my schedule is such that I will be able to have shows every day of the month next month, other than possibly the first week I might be doing some camping. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do any shows that week on the first week of November. However, and that's my birthday month. But the rest of the month, it looks like I will be able to have shows, especially Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. I have those available every week for sure, unless I'm doing some kind of personal travel or something weird happens. But other than that, that's possibly going to happen. Monday, Tuesdays, probably going to have shows. So Wednesdays might be live shows. It will be Wednesdays live shows all throughout November. And I've got some audio. I'm going to try to put this together for tomorrow's show. I'm going to be on the road tomorrow. I'm going to be in El Paso, Texas tomorrow morning and hopefully have time to get this show out from there. I'm hoping the internet where I'm staying is going to be decent and I'll be able to get a show out. And my goal is to have some audio because there's some things that have happened this week. I'm not going to have time to put together this morning. I had a chance to go out to Colorado for the last few days. Thursday. We left on Monday. Went out to Denver, Colorado. Stayed in Denver. Ended up going out to Red Rocks the next day on Tuesday. If you've never been to Red Rocks, it is a beautiful place. It's a pretty incredible place. Of course, it's desert, kind of rocks and desert. And you know, if you like rocks and desert stuff, that's kind of cool. But it's if you don't like that kind of stuff, you get tired of it after a while. It's actually kind of just, you know, everything's brown. It's different shades of brown. However, the red rocks have rocks that are red, so it's kind of different, red and brown. But it's a very arid type environment. Elevation, of course, is high there, and it's hard to breathe. But other than that, you get along just fine. And it was fun. What is her name? Jamie Wilson, whatever her name was. We went to the Red Rocks Amphitheater on Tuesday night. And Jamie is more of a entertainer, and it's pretty obvious when you see her, if you just see a picture of her, but any kind of videos you see of her doing. She sings, she's a Christian artist, definitely into all the entertainment stuff. Has kind of a Lauren Daigle sound to her voice. I guess her and Lauren have done something together. They both have that kind of similar sound, but they will also have the same similar kind of back. I would say they have the same similar air about them with regard to entertainment. Lauren Daigle's more of an entertainer than a Rose Shippler. Her songs are powerful sometimes, but that's not that has more to do with production work. It's not. I don't know. Then you've got the. And I'm not disparaging her at all. I'm just being a critique here. This is my critique. And now Chris Tomlin was there, and he was kind of the main worship leader. Very awesome job. And there's several times I could tell he was choking back tears. I can see it in a person very quickly, especially in a worship leader. I can tell when they're having trouble with that. Because you have to push on. You can't break down. That's kind of I have a problem with that sometimes when I'm, I have to step back and step away and try to compose myself sometimes. Especially when the congregation kind of just go. They're doing their thing. You've taken to that place. I kind of think of worship leaders as ushers in some extent. You are helping to find. You know, when you go into a place where there's ushers, whether it's a movie theater, or church, whatever it is, and there's an usher there that helps you find your seat, helps you find your place. And in a sense, that's where worship leaders, in my opinion, they kind of have that. That responsibility to help you find your place before God, to help you find your place in the presence of God. They're helping you get there. And hopefully they've been there. That's another thing with a worship leader, with any kind of leadership. Hopefully, you know, if a person is worshiping, a worship leader is sharing the experience that they've had. They've already been there. They've already been down that path. And whenever you've been on an adventure somewhere and you have a guide to take you somewhere, hopefully that guide has been there before. They've had experience in that area. They can kind of help guide you through to have the experience that they've had. They can share that same experience. And then they know the way. They know what where to step and where not to step, kind of thing. And so it's been a that's kind of, in my opinion, that's kind of where the worship leader, they've been in their closet. They've been worshiping on their own. They've had that time where they've gone through that, and they're going to take you through that. And it's a that's where I think Chris Tomlin has not been a Christian music artist. There have been a couple songs that he's written. It's been mostly a collaboration with some other people when he's done this, but they're just more of a CCM type song. Most of his songs have a worship point, I should say. I guess the point is worship. It's not just entertainment. And of course, in the middle of that whole thing, near the end, I knew Brooke Ligertwood was supposed to be there, and I didn't know. I wish there was no mention of her entire. They're doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden she comes out at the end, near the end. I would say the end, but the last two thirds, she comes out and leads a few songs. She had tears running down her face. You have to understand supposedly there's 10,000 people in this place. It's hard to believe it seats that many, but it's in the thousands. I'm going to say 8,000 people were there. I don't know. Maybe they weren't that many. Maybe they're more than that, but it just doesn't look that big to me, but it's supposedly 10,000, whole seats, 10,000 people. Not all the seats were full, but, it's a beautiful place, of course, and it's just this open air, open sky, amazing, amazing place, and it's quite the venue to go to a worship event like that. So, anyway, it was very good. It was very, very interesting. At the very end, you know, the people they always come out for the encore, and I thought he did an extremely good job at the encore. Prayed. His final thing was that he just said a prayer at the end. That's what they did, and it was pray for the nation. Everything's been going on. Of course, he participated. I think he was one of the first people that led worship at the Charlie Kirk event, and I'm sure that's fresh on his mind still. There's a new album coming out, I believe. A set of songs coming out. Enough of that. I want to talk about some things that are, in my opinion, what is happening with the Democrat Party. And it's just been... I was thinking about this a couple days ago. I've actually been thinking about this the last couple weeks. And one of the things that have happened is, and I'm starting to hear other commentators talk about it, and it's like, I want to share my opinions on this, because it's one of those things where you have some thoughts about that kind of thing, and then you hear other people talking about it at the same time, and it's like, well, you know, maybe my thoughts are valid here. It's kind of validating what I'm thinking, so I'm going to share this with you. What has been happening over the last 8 to 10 years, really over the last 20 years, but it's been... mostly the last 8 to 10, since 2015, 2016, the movement has accelerated, mostly because of the Trump effect. The left, they have these radicals. They have these people who are just, and they've, the leadership of the Democrat Party, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, know, Harry Reid was part of this initially until he passed away. Then you got all these people who were in this, you know, even, I would say even people, you know, on the right, there's people like Mitch McConnell and that kind of thing. They've gone along with a lot of this. By the way, Mitch McConnell is basically a walking corpse. There's no reason this guy should still be doing. This is ridiculous. He's not functioning as a human being. He's running on about 25% right now, and that's just what is going on with that. And I've talked about this before. Why they keep propping these people up and keeping them in power. It's just and the same thing's going to happen in the Republican Party. Same thing's going to it's. You end up with this, and I'll explain what's happening with the Democrat Party right now. When you get people to the point that they are no longer effective and they're still there, they're still in that seat because the people around them are propping them up because that's their livelihood. There's the machine around Nancy Pelosi, around Mitch McConnell, around all these old folks who are there. Chuck Schumer is at least functioning. He can at least make a speech and make it sound, you know, coherent. The problem is he's lying through his teeth all the time. I got a little bit of a... Oh, by the way, what's in my cup this morning? I've got a... you guys are hanging on the edge of your seats because that's what you tune in for. I have chai with almond joy creamer. I also have... My backup cup is... it's a fresh jug of homemade apple cider from my brother. Boy, that's... It's got a little bit of a tang to it. That's the first taste I've had of it this morning. I probably shouldn't be drinking that. That might, that actually tastes like it's a little bit hard. Maybe I shouldn't be drinking that before I go to work today. I have, I've got to head off to Chicago. And I'll be, by the end of the day, I'll be in El Paso, Texas at late tonight. Late, like early morning, actually. More like. I will be there. So it's kind of a fun time for that. I have, so what's happening with the Democrat Party? Let's talk about that for just a moment. And I'm going to how it relates to what can happen potentially to the Republican Party. But it's, there's a danger in these guys hanging on for so long. And then here's what's happened. There's nobody leading the Democrat Party right now. If you ask anybody in the Democrat Party, who is the leader of the Democrat Party right now? You will either not get an answer. And there's been people on the street going out and asking. There's been a lot of people who have been asking. And that's really the question that any pundit right now that gets a Democrat person on their show, some kind of politician, who's the leader of the Democrat Party right now? Now, Joaquin Jeffries really should be the leader right now. He's not. He can't talk very well about anything that pertains to leadership. In fact, he came out and made this weird statement. I'm going to play it tomorrow. He made this weird statement the other day, yesterday or day before. And it's creepy. It's a creepy statement. It's about him, of course. And of course, there's so much hypocrisy on the left. Things that they say. You know, you've got Pritzker coming out and talking about what dictators do. They come out and they scare you and they do this and they do that and blah, 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 and they make it, and they force you to do this and force you to do that. And he described the Democrat Party, especially over the last 5 years. Everything he said, I'm going to play that as well and I'm going to analyze it and talk about how, and it's the Democrat Party that's coming out with all the scary talk. He's Hitler. This is Nazi. They're Nazis. Meanwhile, they've got a guy who actually is a communist, and he has a Nazi tattoo on his body that he supposedly got in the Marines by accident. This guy's all of a sudden he's a great, wonderful leader. They're propping up. Cenk Uygur is going to interview him, and they're talking about how great of a leader he's going to be because he's got a D behind his name. My word, Pete Hegseth has a Catholic tattoo on his body, Catholic symbol. the guy in the military. They were telling, they were saying he's a Nazi. It was just, he's a Nazi. The whole ICE raid thing, everything that's happening there with that whole, all the rhetoric that's ramped up. There's nobody leading the Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi is not a leader anymore. Joaquin Jeffries is not leading. Chuck Schumer is not leading. Of course, Kamala Harris, she was the last. And has anybody heard from Joe lately? Anybody knocked on his door, done a wellness check for that guy? Is he coming out and saying, has he been seen? The former president of the United States, just less than a year ago, was a president. Does he have anything to say about what's going on? We're hearing from Barack Obama, who, by the way, was president over 8 years ago. He's coming out and trying to campaign for somebody on the East Coast there. That's, what's her name? They're pulling out the big guns when they do that. That's a big deal. That means they're hurting. That's what that means. Guarantee you Brock's not doing that just out of the goodness of his heart. So what we have is the if you remember the book, Rules for Radicals, this thing's called Useful Idiots. Now, the Democrats have allowed the useful idiots to become a part of their thing. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, whacked out you are. You can be a part of their party, and they're just going to embrace you and make you a part of it, pat you on the head and say, oh, yeah, get out there and create chaos in the streets, because it makes the president look bad when there's chaos in the streets. Go out there and do the rioting and do all the protesting and all the stuff. Just get out there and do that, because it makes it look like the nation's out of control. That's their whole thing. So the oligarchs, by the way, Bernie Sanders has been doing this no oligarchs thing since 1985. For the last 40 years, he's been doing this no oligarch thing. Of course, he was talking about millionaires and billionaires. Until about 2 years ago, now all he talks about is billionaires, because he's a millionaire now. So he can't talk about the millionaires and billionaires. When he had a home in wherever it is he's a representative. And he ended up inheriting another home or getting another home somehow. I think he inherited it up in upstate New York. And of course, in upstate, it's a summer camp. It's a summer camp. Everybody has a summer camp. Tens of thousands of people have summer camps up there. That's a normal thing. It's just a normal thing. But Bernie, we're in the middle of a healthcare crisis and a housing crisis and all these crises that you say we're in. There's always somebody that's in a crisis. He's trying to relate to a base of people who say, "Yeah, I'm in a crisis right now." Well, of course, there's always somebody in a crisis, even in the best of times. So he's trying to placate that, trying to use that as, "Oh yeah, look, there's people. I see somebody who has a problem right now. So then the whole nation must be having a problem." Even if they don't have a problem, they feel like everybody else, the whole nation's falling apart. That's what they'd like to tell you. Everything was fine under Joe Biden. Economy was great. By the way, gas prices are dropping like crazy. That is the main thing that changes our economy is the price of fuel. Everything is based on, we have an oil-based economy. There's no other way to get around that. Everything that's delivered, everything that's sent, shipped, whatever it is, farmed, everything relates to the fuel that it takes to do that. When fuel prices drop, prices of everything else drops. Everything becomes more competitive. Now, having said that, there are some speculations right now that because of the government shutdown, gas prices may go up again because of, I don't know why. They're just saying, well, because of the government shutdown, gas prices are going to go up. They won't explain why. I've never heard anybody give me a real good. There's some explanations. I'm not even going to get into them because they're all over the place on why this is going to happen. And we'll find out. I guess we'll just sit back and watch, see what happens with gas prices. I believe we're on the verge because Chuck Schumer tried to have a backroom deal. Speaker Johnson came out and actually exposed the whole thing. Schumer tried to have a backroom deal. Really, this is. I think he really slammed the door on that kind of activity because coming out and saying, see, Schumer was trying to make this deal behind the scenes, trying to make it sound like we worked out a deal. Now, what they would do, and Johnson knows this, what they're going to do when this thing stops, when this thing ends, when the government shutdown is over, the Democrats are going to declare victory. No matter what happens here, they could end up burning their own shorts off, and they'll say, "Oh, look, we've defeated Trump in this shutdown. We won. We were the ones that brought you out of this. They're the ones that started it." Joaquin Jeffries keeps saying, "Well, you have the House, the Senate, and the." I'm not gonna say it like the way he does because he just takes too long to say it. You have the House, the Senate, and the presidency. You guys are in control. You could open the government anytime you wanted to. Well, then, a little thing called the filibuster here, Joaquin. You forget about that? And it's a trap for they're talking about carving out a thing so that they can have on a CR that they can have a majority vote. Just to carve out, so they're carving up the filibuster to the point where it won't be a filibuster anyway, so it won't matter. Just keep carving out things that they need. Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster with regard to Supreme Court judges. And of course, he paid price on that when Trump won. He's got three appointments now. It comes back to bite you. And the worst of it is he took the guff for getting rid of the filibuster. They want that to be on the Republicans. They want the Republicans to be the ones to get rid of the filibuster. So the next time that they're in power, if they ever are again, and they will be, there'll be a two-party system. It's just a matter of who's in charge. They can look back on it and say, well, you guys are the ones that got rid of it, so you guys are the villains, got rid of it. So now we're in charge, and we're going to take a set. That's the worst part of that. Now, in the event of a CR, I can understand, yeah, okay, it makes sense that it would do that. But as soon as you start carving into something, you know how that is. If you've ever done any carving in your life, whoops, I guess we carved too much of that out of there. I guess I'll change the whole thing, and the next thing you know, you started, you know, trying to carve out a squirrel, and the next thing you know, you've got a mouse. It's just the tail just didn't hold on. Whatever happened. Maybe I'll just turn it into an ant. It just keeps getting smaller and smaller as you make more mistakes. So I just don't trust them with knives. No sharp objects carving things around in the Senate. They have that going on. But see, the Democrats have allowed all this. The wackos, the crazy knuckleheads on the just whatever they are, when they have this like this no oligarch thing, this no king's day, you had them holding signs for every single protesting point that the left has, everything from LGBTQ issues to banking issue, whatever it is, Gaza, everything. It's just all gone. Of course, that's all gone. That's all of a sudden that's gone. Apparently, Greta Thunberg was successful in her protest to break the siege of the silence, whatever that means. It fit into her little song really well. So, but it's one of those things where, okay, what were you expecting to accomplish in your little flotilla? We're going to do a flotilla. That's going to stop the war. Why don't you do that over in Russia? Why don't you try that over there? Got to stop the siege of the silence over there. Got to stop that war. That'll be her next thing. It's just one thing after another. So they've allowed these the wackos, the wackadoodles, to get out there. They get them all motivated. Of course, there's a lot of and the reason this is so. To me, it's so deceptive. Because there's money sloshing around everywhere. There are professional protesters. And of course, now the thing is ICE. They're going to turn their focus on ICE. It's always something. There's always some big major thing of the day. And of course, now this week, it's turning into the ballroom that the president's putting in. It's over $230 million. I think it's closer to $300 million by the time things are all done. Of course, the left's head, their heads are popping off. All of them are saying, oh, this is your tax dollars. Oh, you're destroying the perfect building. It's just well, the building the way it is right now has not been around since, it doesn't look the way it looks since George Washington. That's not what happens here. It's been, It's been remodeled and changed and added on to and torn down and different things done to it for probably 12 times over the last 100 years. Major reconstruction, renovation, remodeling, things added to it, things taken out. Like there was a pool and there was a bowling alley. There was been all kinds of stuff. Whatever, basically, pretty much whatever the president wants, typically is done. This deal, of course, they're having to tear down parts of it. Of course, they're showing this hole in the side of the. He's tearing it down. Although this is such an iconic building, and you're tearing it up. Well, this ballroom. I'm not going to stand here and justify the ballroom. I would just assume that they put up a pole barn, decorated up a little bit. That's my economics. That's the way I think. However, this is going to be a building that's going to last for years and years and years. It's kind of thing where it's not some kind of temporary building. It's not some kind of thing where they're going to tear it down in 20 years to remodel or redo something else. This is something that's probably going to, it could potentially be there for 100 years. And you just can't skimp on that. I understand, but does it need a ballroom? I don't know. I don't think so. I've talked about, this has actually been the plans for probably 25, 30 years. They've talked about doing this ballroom thing. And he's finally doing it. And it's all being done with private funding. Much of it's Trump's money. He's putting it up for it. And it's, but there's other donors that are also putting up money for funding for this thing. Basically, he's also sued for his for malicious prosecution. He's getting all his lawyer money back from one state where one of the lawsuits against him. And that's in the millions of dollars. But the left, Whoopi Goldberg and all these other people are all out there saying, oh, this is your tax dollars. This is your tax dollars. There's even some news commentators that are saying that on the left. It's not. Now, again, we're getting back to this whole thing of the radicals on the left. The useful idiots have because there's no leadership in the Democrat Party. There's nobody leading. There's nobody guiding. There's nobody stamping down, tomping down anything that's going on. Well, Chuck Schumer's seat, of course, has been under threat. So he's had to comply with a lot of things that the radical left, the lunatics on the left, the useful idiots, they've got this momentum right now. And they're kind of taking over and they're putting pressure on Chuck Schumer. AOC may take his seat. They're talking about primarying him. You have Mamdani in New York. And because they can't get their act together because they've lost so much credibility among themselves. The former governor of New York, Cuomo, is trying to. The debates have been pretty hard on Ramaswamy. And tomorrow I want to play some of the audio of him in an interview. This is very typical. He's asked a straightforward yes or no question, and he will just go off on a different direction and smile the whole time he's saying. He's always smiling every time he has an answer. He's very quick at giving an answer that means nothing, that it completely diverts. He is slicker than any other politician I've ever seen. And the people will fall for it. They will. Because he's very good at avoiding the answer. Sounds like he's answering the question, but he's not. He's not answering at all. And they have to ask him again. And again, he'll repeat the same thing back, and he'll have a smile on his face the whole time from ear to ear. And it's this. And what I hear in his voice is a rehearsed response that's almost sarcastic. It is this most snide, kind of smug and arrogant response in his voice. And it goes right along with what he's saying. And the whole time he's smiling like he just ate the parakeet. Or is it a canary? Whatever it is the cat ate. Whatever. That's what he does. So the Dems are in trouble right now because they're being overtaken by this crazy, wacky, lunatic left. And unfortunately, you've got them in places, they're getting their foothold in places where, and it's, now, there's a combination of things happening here. At the same time that that's happening, of course, Ramaswamy, or Mamdani, I'm sorry, Mamdani, is he's Muslim. He's very anti-Semitic. The problem you're running into right now is that they are gaining footholds. They, as in the Islamic, I would say radical left, Islamics. They're really good at using useful idiots. And of course, this is also happening up in Minnesota, where there's all kinds of scandals now they're finding out. And even Tim Walz has come out and said that there's organized crime in Minnesota. And they got this new driver's license thing where if you have a driver's license, you can vote. And they're giving out driver's license to anybody. Doesn't matter if you're legal or not. And that's part of the bill that they're trying to get through, and they're trying to do all this stuff. Of course, now they're also saying that, oh, well, if you vote, you're committing a crime and you can be deported for that. Well, of course, they won't allow you to be deported for that. Problem is, it may not be the person voting. It's just that they get their name on a voter roll. And, of course, that's where the corruption comes in, the whole organized crime thing. Organized crime happens with everything except for the voting thing, apparently. They found, housing and food. There's so much stuff going on up there. Just corruption has been found. And what it boils down to is the community that Ilhan Omar and some others are a part of up there is starting to take over. And eventually, one of the guys made a prediction. He said in the next 8 to 10 years, you're going to start to see Sharia law courts up there that are actually funded by the state. He said, in fact, in 50 years, it'll just be a completely Islamic state, as far as the city is concerned. Just like, I think it's Dearborn, Michigan, where they now play, over the loudspeakers. You can hear it all over the city. The call to prayer, Islamic call to prayer. Now, it's a free country, but there's also something a little bit something called you're infringing on my rights by playing something like that. Now, there's church bells that ring in certain communities and do that kind of thing all the time. And I know that's where we're on the edge of this whole thing. They could potentially beat that down if you try to say that we can't do the call to prayer. But there are noise ordinances out there, and it's kind of one of those things. Now, so it's we'll have to see how this works out, how it all pans out. But what we're witnessing is a nation. Of course, now, of course, there's also some audio of Gavin Newsom saying some things. He's sounding all tough now. He's punching up to Joe Rogan. He's going after Joe Rogan now. Joe Rogan won't have me on his show. He won't have me on his show. No, I'm punching Joe Rogan. Oh, he thinks he's a tough guy. Oh, whatever. And he's using cuss words, very, very selective cuss words. That's you're seeing that on the left all over the place now. You see Pete Buttigieg, all these people who've never cussed online on the radio or never cussed online, never cussed in public, always been very careful about that. All of a sudden, now they're cussing all over the place. And of course, it's because they see it's because they know it's effective for Trump. Trump has been doing it. And again, I don't condone it. In fact, I think it is childish. It's one of those things that Trump does. I think is childish. And I just don't think it's, I think when people start using cuss words and curse words, personally, I think it's a show of emotional maturity, call it that. It's not that the person's ignorant or stupid or is incapable of doing things. It shows me something about their character with regard to their maturity level in certain areas of, in certain aspects of their life, not in everything. They're not saying that Trump is immature in other things. But it's what people use when they're unable to communicate properly in other ways. They can't pick the right words, and sometimes the cuss word just seems to fit. But it's just, again, it is to the base nature of our existence, not to the intellectual side of who we are. Just saying. I'm not saying if you use a cuss word that you're going to go, you know, it doesn't disqualify you for anything else. I'm just saying it just shows me a part of who you are. And I'm not condemning them for that. I'm just saying, okay, let's just recognizing it. Now, So that's what we're getting into here. And I think that's what my tomorrow I'm going to try to play some of these audio. Hopefully I can compile some of this audio. I've got some time this afternoon. I might be able to put some of this together for you. And then tomorrow morning play it, hopefully from the hotel. I'll be playing it off the sound quality tomorrow won't be all that great, but we'll see what we can work up for you. In the meantime, I've got to get out of here because I got some traveling to do. I got to drive to Chicago, and then I got to do some busy work in Chicago, and then I'm going to be traveling down to a long flight, 3-hour flight, down to El Paso, Texas, and I'll be there till late tomorrow. And so hopefully tomorrow morning I'll have time to be in the show. Now, the time zone there, I believe, is 2 hours difference. I think it's, they're on mountain time there, I believe. So the show might be a little bit later there than it should be. But in the meantime, let me know what you think about what I think. And you can call the show, 812-379-8778 or google.com/voice. Let me know what you think. Folks, it's been good to have a show finally this week, and been good to talk to you. I'll be having more tomorrow, hopefully, from El Paso. Again, God bless. Have a great rest of your week and the weekend. Take care. See ya.